La scimmia di chiettare, coi le notti stutti, si dovate che le già molti si tappati. After seeing the Ahovala Nrisimha deity, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered many prayers unto the Lord. He then went to Siddhavata, where he saw the deity of Ramachandra, the Lord of Sitadevi. Purport. This Siddhavata is 10 miles east of the village Kudapa. It is also known as Siddhota. Previously this place, also known as Southern Benares, there is a great banyan tree there, and it is therefore known as Siddhavata. Vata means banyan tree. Srila Prabhupada said that Lord Nrisimhadev appeared in the palace of Hiranyakasipu from the pillar, and that this time when Lord Nrisimhadev appeared, he did not appear on this planet, but that he appeared in the higher planetary regions. However, Ahovala is in South India, and one can go there and go on the Ahovala mountain, and along the mountain there are many different forms of Lord Nrisimhadev, different deities. And then, as one comes to the top of the mountain, after quite a climb actually, there is a huge rock, like a pillar. And it said this is what is left over from the pillar from where Lord Nrisimhadev appeared. So, how is this? It is explained that actually the Lord did appear from that place, but not in this yuga, in another yuga. Because the pastimes of Lord Nrisimhadev happen again and again in various yugas. And after all, he is one of the Das Avatar, and in each cycle of four yugas, the Das Avatars are appearing and performing different pastimes. So Lord Nrisimhadev appears again and again, and as he does so, to keep an element of surprise, you never know how it's going to go. Just when you think that he's going to come from the pillar, he comes running from outside the palace. So in this way, sometimes he changes a detail and you never know which one. So it's, you know, you can't be sure of what's going to happen. Yes. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his Chaitanya Sikhsamrita how all the demons that appear in the pastime of Krishna are representing different anarthas in the conditioned soul. Just like an example of Agasura, who is cold-blooded. For Agasura, other living beings are utensils. Something he uses, but there's no feeling whatsoever. Therefore, Agasura can kill and be totally unaffected, totally cold-blooded. Therefore, although Agasura is an empowered yogi and by mystic power can take different forms, he chose the form of a snake because it fitted his cold-blooded nature. And thus, the various demons represent a certain demoniac mentality. And upon hearing about these different demons, one can see how much of the demon is within us. So Hiranyakasipu, also a prototype of a gross materialist, basically interested in money and sex. Right? Hiranya gold and Kasipu soft bed. And in this way, Hiranyakasipu is relying on his own power. So, upon hearing about these demons, again, we can ourselves reflect on how much of a Hiranyakasipu, how much of a Kamsa is living in us, or a Putana, who betrays. Putana, it says, is like coming like a mother, which is like giving the ultimate impulse of trust. child is surrendered, mother comes, fully trusts the mother, and then she puts poison. So she is like the biggest traitor. She betrays. So how many times have we betrayed someone in our life? So all these things are close to home. After seeing the deity of Lord Ramachandra, the descendant of King Raghu, the Lord offered his prayers and obeisances. Then a Brahmana invited the Lord to take lunch. That Brahmana constantly chanted the holy name of Ramachandra. Indeed, but for chanting Lord Ramachandra's holy name, that Brahmana did not speak a word. That day, Lord Chaitanya remained there and accepted prasad at his house. After bestowing mercy upon him in this way, the Lord proceeded and went ahead. At the holy place known as Skandaksheta, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Skanda. From there he went to Trimata when he saw the deity of Trivikrama. So Skanda is Kartikeya, the son of Lord Shiva. He is Skanda. So it's interesting that Lord Chaitanya also visited a temple of a demigod, and that he was also respecting the demigods. We might just say, well, no, we won't go there. We won't go there. But Lord Chaitanya did go there, and of course, he offered his respects to the deity. But still, he never divided his faith. When we begin to worship demigods, one might think, well, why bother Krishna for material things? See, we want auspiciousness in our house, so we put a little deity of Kanesh. Because, above the door. Because they do so in India. And that is like, because Ganesh takes away the inauspiciousness in the house. And of course, we don't want to bother Krishna for such things, but you know. Ganesh. And he's cute also. Very nice. No? Yeah. You know, who doesn't like Ganesh? Like this. So what happens is that at that point we divide our faith. We start saying, for certain things I'll go to Ganesh, for other things I'll go to Krishna. And in the end, part of our faith is with Ganesh, and part of our faith is with Krishna. Therefore, it is not recommended, even although one can worship the demigods. They are worshipable, in a sense. They are our superiors. But because we would divide our faith, it is dangerous for us, and therefore we are careful. But we offer our respect. No questions, please. Hold your horses. Later. Okay. I'm just warming up. Freezing cold. So, Lord Ganesh is... Therefore, Narottam Thakur says, Mat Anya Devas Vayanai, do not worship other devas. However, Rupa Goswami writes in the Nectar of Devotion, as one of the regulated principles, that one should worship Ganesh. Chapter 8 of the Nectar of Devotion, one should worship Ganesh. So, scratch. What do we do now? Rupa Goswami. Are you a follower of Rupa Goswami? Are you following the Shastra? Then? Will you worship Ganesh or not? Yes. Must. It says in the scripture. No. Although there is a verse there, and Rupa Goswami is not saying it on his own say-so. Because whatever Rupa Goswami writes in the Nectar of Devotion is... The Nectar of Devotion is a compilation of verses from different scriptures, a lot from Bhagavatam and then from other sources. And basically, it is a book that is constructed a verse, evidence, and then support and explanation. Yeah? So, in that way, each time he makes a point, it has a scriptural basis. And then Srila Prabhupada says, it's not required. But is that all right? Isn't it that the acharya should speak exactly like what is written in the scriptures? Shouldn't it be that the Acharya never contradicts the scriptures? Yeah. That's what I learned in the Bhakta program, that's what they told me. Right? Said, yes, but the Acharya may apply the scriptures according to time, place, and circumstance. And therefore the Acharya may make adjustments. And the word of the Acharya carries a lot of weight and even supersedes the regular etiquette. There's a story about after Ishwarapuri, the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, left this planet. At that time, Govinda, who was the godbrother of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, I have come to be your personal servant. Oh, Lord Chaitanya said, no, you are my godbrother. I cannot accept personal service from you. Oh, no way. Yes, Govinda said, that is true, but it is the order of our spiritual master. Before he departed this world, he gave me this final instruction to go and meet you and to become your personal servant. So then, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was like, what do I do now? This is a problem because this is an order of the Guru. So he asks Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya means, Sarvabhauma means the whole world. The Acharya for the whole world, so learned. Who knew what, as much as he knows. So immediately Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya started to quote many verses and he started to explain how different personalities immediately followed the order of their Guru. Even if it seemed disadvantageous, even if it seemed to be against normal etiquette or against the scripture, because the order of the Guru supersedes any other instructions. So in this way, we appreciate that Srila Prabhupada said it's not required. Guru Kripa. Where was a disciple like Guru Kripa? Guru Kripa is an amazing devotee, but you cannot put Guru Kripa in a box. You cannot keep him just locked in. Guru Kripa is a free spirit. But when Prabhupada wanted to construct the temple in Vrindavan, he was saying, I'm very worried. He said, my spiritual master, he wanted to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. He said, but I want to also preach in India. This is my desire. But my disciples, they don't like to send money to India. They try to keep it in the West. He said, what do I do? Then Guru Kripa said, Prabhupada, don't worry. I will get you the money. And somehow or other he did, right? And it was not so easy, because in those days there was nothing established, you know. Now you go in and you have a whole thing behind you. But they had nothing, right? No ISKCON behind them, no Food for Life behind them, nothing, right? So it was a little more difficult to, and as far as the world were concerned, Hare Krishnas were extraterrestrials, they were a dangerous cult and all these kind of things. But Guru Kripa somehow or other collected that money. And the temple in Vrindavan was built. So he was always so eager to get the mercy of Prabhupada. On one occasion, Prabhupada went into the Pacific Ocean. And the devotees started to scoop up water. Sea water, and pour it all over Prabhupada, like an abhishek, because Prabhupada was only standing to his knees in the water. And all pouring water over Prabhupada like an abhishek. And then at one point, Prabhupada took some water and He gargled with it. And then he spit it out. And Guru Kripa, he saw it, and he was quick. And he dived for it and got and caught it and swallowed, drank it. Seawater or not, you know. He drank it. That was Guru Kripa. So Guru Kripa said to Prabhupada, well, can we worship Ganesh? No? Can we worship him? Well, we have actually already started. We have a deity, and you know, and it's going really well. We're collecting a lot of money, and you know, it's bona fide. Isn't it bona fide because it says so in the Nectar of Devotion? So Prabhupada said it's not required. So they still wouldn't give up. All right, it may not be required, but can we do it anyway? You know. When Prabhupada said it's not required, he sort of meant like, okay, no need to do it. But when you say to a Westerner, it's not required, the Western mind goes, all right, it may not be required, but is it forbidden? It's a different way of thinking. So Guru Kripa came back in that mood, together with Bhaktadas, his friend. And then finally Prabhupada said, to end all the correspondence, Prabhupada said, okay, you can worship Ganesh if you can give me $100,000 a month. And that even Guru Kripa couldn't do.
Oh.
In that way. Sorry, Guru Kripa. There was no worship of Ganesh. Well, yes, there are the Shaktas in the Vedic literatures, the Suryas, the Ganapatyas, the Shaivites, and the Vaishnavas. So the Shaktas, it said, they are worshipping the material energy out of fear. You know, Kali, Karan of skulls, and yeah. So pacify Kali. You know, you want blood? All right, no problem. We'll give you blood, but not my blood, okay? Take from this goat. Yes, take. Like this. So that's a primitive way of worshipping out of fear. The Suryas is different. Suryas is catching the prana, catching the positive energy. Like Reiki. Though Reiki masters are the Suryas. I don't know if someone is a Reiki master here. Any Reiki masters? No Reiki masters? Partner, come on.
Still trying.
I've got two. Helps a little. But I'm not Jesus. I think Jesus was the real Reiki master. Anyway, so that is Surya. That is connecting to the life-giving energy. It has a positive attitude towards the Supreme Lord. The Ganapatya is more advanced because the Ganapatya is worshipping a personal deity. But the Ganapatya is worshipping that personal deity for solving personal needs. It's fruitive. And limited, small also. Approaching for smaller things. Shaivites, they see Shambhu as the generating principle. In the beginning, when the material nature is unmanifested, exists in its potential, like its seed form, pradhana. It is Mahavishnu who glances upon that pradhana and activates it. It is Shambhu who becomes the glance, Lord Shiva, Sada Shiva. The one from the spiritual side of the Viraja world that separates the material and the spiritual world. That Sadashiva, Shambhu, becomes the glands and touches the potential of the material energy and impregnates it with the living beings. Yatadadi vikara visesi yogurt, and milk transforms into yogurt. And Sadashiva becomes Rudra at that time. And then, so the Saivite is therefore worshipping the lingam, which represents the male impregnating force, activating prakriti, then depicted as a female force. In that way, the lingam. In that way, Shambhu as the creative principle. When first there was nothing, then everything came into being. So therefore impersonalists like this image. Therefore many Shaivites are impersonalists. And then finally, the Vaishnavas at the top of the line. So these five categories or are five levels of worship. And we just simply, and everything can be fulfilled with the worship of Krishna. Therefore, kechit kevalaya bhakti vasudeva parayana. Only worship Krishna, only Vasudeva. And fully absorbed in that, no need for anything else, because any need that we have will be fulfilled there. So, then Lord Chaitanya, he traveled and he went to the temple of Trivikram. And then he returned to Siddhavata, where he again visited the house of the Brahman, who was now constantly chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. After finishing his lunch there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the Brahmana, "My dear friend, kindly tell me what your position is now. Formerly you were chanting constantly the holy name of Lord Ram. Why are you now constantly chanting the holy name of Krishna?" The Brahmana replied, "This is all due to your influence, sir. After seeing you, I've lost the long practice of my life. From my childhood, I've been chanting the name, the holy name of Lord Ramachandra. But after seeing you, I began to chant the holy name of Lord Krishna. Since then, the holy name of Krishna has been tied to my tongue. Indeed, when I chant the holy name of Krishna, the holy name of Lord Ramachandra goes far away. From my childhood, I've been practicing this chanting. I've been collecting the glories of the holy name from revealed scriptures. The supreme absolute truth is called Ram, because the transcendentalists take pleasure in that, in the unlimited true pleasure of spiritual existence. Ramanti yogino nante satchanam chidatmani iti rama padena so param brahma vidyate." So it is the transcendental happiness. Krishir bhu vachaka sabdo nascha nivritti vachakaha tayoraikyam param brahma krishniti abhidyate. The word Krish is the attractive feature of the Lord's existence, and Na means spiritual pleasure. When the verb Krish is added to the affix Na, it becomes Krishna, which indicates the absolute truth. From the Ukyo Parva of the Mahabharata. Param Brahma Dui Nama Samana Haira Puna Shastra Kichu Vishesha Paira. As far as the holy names of Rama and Krishna are concerned, they are on an equal level, but for further advancement we receive some specific information from revealed scriptures. Rama Ramiti Ramiti Rama Rama Manu Rama Sahasranami Bistulyam Rama Nama Varanani. Lord Shiva addressed his wife Durga as Varanana and explained, "I chant the holy name of Ram, 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 and thus enjoy this beautiful sound. This holy name of Ramachandra is equal to 1,000 holy names of Lord Krishna." So three names of Ram is same as 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu. Now we know that there is the Vishnu Sahasranam, right? 1,000 names of Vishnu. And it takes a long time to chant that, actually. Not really. I mean, if you start... And it said three names of Ram is the same as the Vishnu Sahasranam, and one time the name of Krishna is the same. In Mayapur, the Gurukul used to chant it in the, when I used to live there in the late 80s. Maybe they still do. So every morning they used to chant Vishnu Sahasranam. I don't know. And so on. 15 minutes, you know. And when they finished, then I would go, "Krishna." Sorry, Dr. Vijayakumar. We're friends, you know.
Same time, Krishna.
Same result, actually, as we find here. Same result, one time Krishna. There's 1,000 names of Vishnu and 3 names of Ram. So, you know. So think about that. In the name of Krishna. Somehow or other, that name of Krishna is, of course, not only that it is the most potent name, but that name is showing the Supreme Lord, who manifests all his opulence in full, all his sweetness in full. Lord Ramachandra is displaying Dharma, but not that same. He doesn't steal. Krishna, oh yes, he does. And many other things. So what can I say? Some things that Krishna does are very sweet. So gradually, our devotional service becomes more and more focused just on Krishna. Of course, Krishna, Anantarupam, has many forms. So also Lord Srinidhev, also Lord Chaitanya. But Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that becomes our life and soul. What else? So this Brahmana, he was transformed by Sri Chaitanya. So in this way, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can develop this unalloyed, focus. It's hard to imagine, because the Bhagavad Gita comes with this verse, Vyavasi Aplika Buddhir Eke Akura Nandina, Bahu Saki Anantasta, one word I miss, Vyavasaya.
Buddhayo?
Is it Buddhayo Vyavasaya? So we are just focused on Krishna in the pure state, but meanwhile we are so much bahusaka, we are so much everywhere. This morning I was telling the story how I stood in front of the firing squad in Iran and I was chanting Hare Krishna, but I was also very slowly and very surely moving. Going very slowly off to one side behind my neighbor. So that I was half behind my neighbor, and then I thought, if they shoot, I will fall behind my neighbor. And in that way, maybe I'll be saved. So, and in the same way, we may travel with a credit card, or we may have so many securities, and insurance, something, you know. So, who can rely on Krishna? But ultimately, that is the spirit. Krishna is in control. So this is everything comes from Krishna. We discussed a lot of that this morning. I won't do it again now. But such just kirtan, just Krishna prasad, just being with devotees, somehow or other, so much Krishna actually comes into our life. You know? We may not be so fixed, but it just bombards us. You know? It's just too much. The Hare Krishna movement is just. It's just all the time, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Krishna, Krishna. And it just goes on and on. And no end to it. You know? Melodies start playing in your head. You go to bed with them. Hare Krishna. In the middle of the night you roll over. And then the next morning you just wake up and under the shower you go again. Hare Krishna. It's okay. It's so natural, you know. That's so nice. It's just Krishna consciousness. It just is so natural. It doesn't have to be so supernatural, you know. Like, where you have to sit and you have to levitate and then, you know. Yeah, a little higher, a little higher. You're doing good. The ground,
right? Actually, no, I would put the hands, but not the ground.
I see. You like nectar, huh? Yeah. Well, it tastes nice, this nectar, huh? Soma Ras. You used to drink a lot of it?
Well, it kind of depends on where I am.
Sometimes, right? It's just hard to resist, isn't it? Sometimes you hit the bottle, huh? Soma, soma. Rasa, rasa. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. It's good. But then it's over. Then the good karma's over. And then no soma ras anymore. So, what do they drink in the spiritual world? That's what I wonder.
The yamina.
Huh?
The Yamuna river, water.
Yamuna river?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Something. Yamuna water.
Milk.
Fresh milk.
Milk, okay. Milk. That's oceans of milk. Milkshakes and mango shakes and
kalpa vriksha
fruit shakes. That sounds all right. They'd have a double cup of kalpa vriksha fruit shake. Large one. Yeah. Sounds really good. Yeah. Can't wait. But I'm waiting. That's it. Just because of the Bahusaka. The many branches. Part of me can't wait and the other part is waiting. And it's funny, how it goes like that. But somehow or other, again and again, we chant, dance, talk a little bit about Krishna, and then take Krishna prasad. So at this stage of the evening, you want to inquire from the head of the kitchen, or the heads, or maybe many heads, but whatever, the hosts, as to what is the weather forecast. I mean, is it going to be hopeful, or is it going to be... Is the nectar going to rain, or is it going to be dry? So shall we? Oh, he shakes his head as an affirmation because he's been in India. I've concluded that Indians have a screw missing. Yeah. No, very nice. So, in this way, the nice thing about the Chaitanya Charitamrita is that we are in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. See, the Chaitanya Charitamrita didn't happen 500 years ago. The Chaitanya Charitamrita is still happening right now. And today it's happening in Rupa's house. And there was an ecstatic kirtan. We sat down under the fans, to discuss a little bit about the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And then there was abundant prasada. So many flavors and so many varieties. And there was delicious ice cold cooling juice which came suddenly out of nowhere. And it just hit the tongue. Wow. The level of ecstasy that we experienced was not of this world. Oh Rupa. When will you be merciful to us? Please, everyone, say after me. Oh Rupa.
He doesn't answer them.
He said right now.
Well, you know, we're waiting.
Just not coming.
Wow. I hope so. It's hot today. Mm-hmm. It's a scorcher.
Lord Shiva, demigod.
Lord Shiva, okay.
I'll tell you everything.
No worries. Lord Shiva. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita and in the Bhakti Sandarbha, Bhajiva Goswami, Brihad Bhagavatam Sanatana Goswami, Shiva Tattva is clearly explained. And it's explained that there are two Shivas, and that the material world and the spiritual is separated by a river called Viraja, also known as the causal ocean. On one side, on the spiritual side, there's an abode of Lord Shiva known as Shiva Loka. There, Lord Sada Shiva resides. Lord Sada Shiva is an expansion of Mahavishnu. He is still Vishnu Tattva. He is worshipping Lord Sankarshan. So here's Vishnu Tattva worshipping Vishnu Tattva. And then, as I said, then that glance to, he becomes the glance of Mahavishnu, Saiksata, he looks upon the Pradhana, impregnates the material world. Then the Brahma Samhita kicks in, Yatadadi Vikara, he says yoga, milk turns into yogurt. And subsequently, Jiva Goswami said, the full light of Shiva, of Sada Shiva, becomes obstructed because the glass of the lamp becomes black and he becomes Rudra, the demigod Shiva. So thus there is, and demigod Shiva resides in Mount Kailash, which is a gift of Kuvera, the treasure of the demigods, which is situated on the material side of the Viraja. And thus we are dealing both with the demigod Shiva and with the Vishnu expansion of Shiva, Sada Shiva.
So he's both.
Ah, and there's a Harihar. White and black deity. Have you seen? So, in Advaita Acharya, he is described as Mahavishnu and Lord Shiva. Harihar.
Both.
All manifest. So, yeah, therefore Shiva is a tattva in itself. But so to speak, the demigod Shiva, when he meets his prachetas in the Bhagavatam, it's the demigod Shiva meeting the prachetas. And that's all.
So it's Sada Shiva is Vishnu.
In my room, I have three computer, and in three computer, I have PowerPoint. And on this PowerPoint, I have the first numbers also. But in my brain, I have just cotton wool. Therefore, I don't remember these verse numbers. Just not coming.
Yeah.
I'm first to drop in money. Okay, anybody else?
The Rama and the Mahamantra.
The Rama and the Mahamantra.
Because then...
Who is he?
Yeah, but I mean, Lord Ramachandra is Krishna, right? And then Balaram is Balaram.
Yeah. So when we chant the Ram in the Mahamantra, which Ram is it? Are we chanting Balaram or are we chanting Ramachandra? And two sannyasis on the Hyderabad farm were arguing about it. And it was a big debate. The Prabhupada's days, and Prabhupada finally came and was the referee. And Prabhupada said, both. I understand. You choose as you like. You don't like Lord Ramachandra? He's the Lord who gives shelter to the monkeys. Satsarupa Maharaj has these poems which I like very much. Lilamrita, Prabhupada Lilamrita on rhyme, you know? And it's like, in there he says that Prabhupada, he said Lord Ramachandra, he had an army of monkeys to go to Lanka. And Prabhupada had to do it with hippies from the Lower East.
So if we're not meant to worship demigods,
yeah.
What is the appropriate relationship to them for humans?
Respect. Mm-hmm. We can offer our obeisances to them, mm-hmm. and we offer respect. And we can, but we're not approaching them for anything. We're not approaching them for any benedictions. But we worship them in a spirit of respect. But we don't worship them for this benediction, that benediction. And therefore we're not taking demigod prasadam. Taking only Krishna prasadam. But prasadam that came from Lord Narayan, then was offered to the demigods, that can be taken because that is prasadam in Krishna. So like that, in the Ranganath temple, Prabhupada was walking with the devotees around the temple in the gardens to chant japa. It was peaceful. The devotees couldn't go in the temple, but Prabhupada just walked in the gardens. And then there was one door in the boundary wall. There were all kinds of rooms, you know, like they have in India. And there was one door that was opened, and then Prabhupada fell flat and offered obeisances. So the devotees didn't know what, but when they looked, they saw there was a deity of Durga. So they were shocked. He's offering full obeisances to Durga. I said, yes. She's also Radharani. Also an expansion of Radharani. As all the female forms are expansions of Mahalakshmi. Just as from Krishna comes Mahavishnu, and all the male expansions are forms of Mahavishnu. The same way, there is female force, the Mahalakshmi. But when Sadashiva transforms, so does Durga. So there's also a spiritual form. Just as we say, what is that? What is the other one? The one we chant, Saraswati Devi. Yeah, that's it. Narayana Namaskritya, Naram Chaivam Marotamam, Devim Saraswati Vyasam, Tato Jayam, Udiladi. Thank you very much. So there it says that before reciting the Bhagavatam, you have to worship Saraswati Devi, because she controls the speech. And then the Acharyas explain, but that's not the Saraswati Devi from this world. there's also a spiritual counterpart of that Saraswati. We worship the spiritual counterpart. But the demigods, we offer respect. And that's important. Not that we go away. But on prasad, when they try to offer us prasad, they say, every Monday I'm fasting. If it's Wednesday, then every Wednesday you're fasting. Today is a very lucky day, by the way. It's Friday the 13th. Right? Now, I know some of you were probably thinking not to get out of bed this morning, or the horse's hoof and all the other things that bring luck. But I just want to mention that the day that Srila Prabhupada prepared in Calcutta to board the Jaladuta and to go to the West and preach, that day was Friday the 13th. Yeah. I thought that's something I should just meant. I've been waiting for Friday the 13th. Tell this, you know. So, yeah. So, what is night for the materialist is day for the devotee. What is day for the devotee is night for the materialist. Friday the 13th, the worst day for the materialist, is a very blissful day for the devotees. And that is why we had Rupa's party today. And it better be good, because he keeps us waiting for a long time. Rupa!
Rupa! Rupa! Rupa!